What up, what up, everybody? I am your boy, The Hub, and welcome back to The Hub Talk Chronicles. Now, excuse me, ladies and gentlemen, if my voice feels a little bit raspy, I apologize. It's because I am feeling underneath the weather right now, so I'm a little bit sick. So, please forgive me and my raspy voice. So, anyways, without further ado, let's get straight into the podcast episode, okay? Now, today, in today's episode, ladies and gentlemen, right, I want to talk about the announcement that our esteemed governor, that Madame Governor Kathy Hochul made on the Interboro Express, which is also known as the IBX, and the transit expansions to access and increase access, affordability, and safety. Okay? So without further ado, let's get into the podcast episode, okay? So, ladies and gentlemen, as you all know, that last year, right, Hochul has appointed the Metropolitan Transportation Authority of New York, also known as the MTA, right, to look into the feasibility study of the Interboro Express, also known as the IBX, okay? As you all know, the IBX is slated to operate between Bay Ridge and Brooklyn and Jackson Heights. It was supposed to be the Triborough Express, which was supposed to be studied by then Governor Andrew Cuomo, but it's been shortened to Queens. Because here's the thing now, and this is the part where people don't seem to remember or don't seem to understand, okay? The reason why the IBX was shortened from the Bronx to Queens is because, you know, the Hell Gate Bridge, right? Which is between the Bronx and Queens, right? It's being used for Metro North Commuter Railroad access to Penn Station, which is supposed to happen later on in this decade. So that is why instead of this line serving three boroughs, which was supposed to be Brooklyn, Queens, and the Bronx, it's only now serving Brooklyn and Queens. Okay, up to Jackson Heights. And I see a lot of comments saying out there, damn, it's not serving LaGuardia Airport and all that stuff. Well, the LaGuardia Airport study is a whole different scenario. That is why the Q70 LaGuardia Link Select Bus Service is fare free for the time being. But other than that, I feel like the IBX should serve LaGuardia Airport in some shape, way, or form, so that we don't have to spend money creating a whole new air train system for LaGuardia Airport, because we already have one for JFK, which connects you to the Lefferts Boulevard air train, to Lefferts Boulevard, Howard Beach, where you can catch the A train, or at Jamaica Station, where you can catch the J, the E, J, and Z, and the Long Island Railroad. So that's that. But yeah, even if you're coming from Long Island Railroad, you need to get to JFK Airport. The Long Island Railroad is the best stop. So you can get off at Jamaica Station, and you can take the air train to your terminals or whatever. So yeah, that's that. I want to get to what Governor Hochul has to say about this, okay? Now, Hochul announced as part of the 2023 State of the State Address a series of actions to expand New York's transit while making it safer, more affordable, and more accessible to all. This includes new funds dedicated to non-MTA transit authorities for expanded client service, an update of the Interboro Express, and the expansion of the 24/7 ticket. Now, if you don't know, the city ticket is for both Long Island Railroad and for Metro North Commuter Railroads, railroads. Okay, for example, Long Island Railroad, right? If you travel between Brooklyn and or Queens, if you travel within Brooklyn or Queens, like city ticket is cost $5, right? For Long Island Railroad riders, if you travel within Brooklyn or Queens, if you travel within Brooklyn or Queens, you're safe. You don't have to pay additional fare. That's $5. And for Metro North Commuter Railroad customers, right? If you travel within the city limits, such as Manhattan and the Bronx, you could only pay $5. So yes, you're good right there. So yes, feasibility and all, you're good right there. Seriously. And our esteemed Governor Hochul said this in a statement. She said this: "I'm committed to making our transit more safer, accessible, and affordable. These actions will build on our success and broaden access to transit resources for New Yorkers." Here's one thing that some people have been advocating for when it comes in terms of safety. Okay, like I'm sorry to get a little bit off topic, but I have to say this, right? There has come a time where we hear stories and we see on the news, and we also read on social media as well, that there are some people out there who, misbehave badly on in the transit system, pushing people in front of incoming trains, pushing people face first in front of a stationary train, literally. Like, I can recall this one news story that I saw in late 2019. Some crazed man pushed a woman literally face first in front of a stationary B train at the Cobb Avenue subway station in downtown Brooklyn. Yeah, face first. Like I saw that and I felt that. That's painful. That's painful. To have someone push you face first in front of a train, that's painful. And the people who commit those crimes, those are the type of people that you don't want roaming around on subway system. It's nice to see more police officers on the field, doing their jobs and what have you. That's more nice. We need more of that. Yes. But at the same time, right? Sorry. But at the same time, though, right? We need our lawmakers to make this official, that to ban anybody who is a repeat offender to not ride in our subway systems. Okay? Again, ladies and gentlemen, I'm feeling a little bit underneath the weather right now. I have a stuffy nose right now, and it's really messy right now. I'm really feeling underneath the weather right now, so please forgive me. If you guys are listening to this podcast episode, please forgive me because I have a stuffy nose right now, and I'm really feeling underneath the weather right now. So please forgive me. Please bear with me. Bear with me. So yes, so as I was saying, right? We need laws to implement that people who are repeat offenders, people who are on the mental health watch or what have you, do not roam in our subway systems. Okay? So that way we can keep our streets and our subway systems safer, and that we can shut and we can make all these right-wing media people shut the fuck up, excuse my language, with their fear-mongering and their total BS narrative. All right, so that's that. So anyways, I'm gonna get back to the article. Okay? All right, so MTA Chairman and CEO Jana Lieber said this in a statement: "Moving forward with the light rail for Interborough Express means better access to jobs, education, and economic opportunities for some 900,000 New Yorkers in Queens and Brooklyn. I want to thank Governor Hochul for her leadership on this exciting project and look forward to working with stakeholders and local communities to move the proposed project Propose project forward. Okay, now, anybody, well, I'm gonna keep on reading. Well, I'm not gonna say the neighborhoods yet until we get forward, okay? Now, expanding city tickets to include peak hours. It was also announced that the MTA City Ticket, which provides Metro North and Long Island Railroad customers with a low-cost flat rate to travel within New York City during off-peak hours, will be expanded to include peak hours for a modest premium. This expansion will greatly assist customers and tourists to New York City and will benefit more than 10,000 trips on an average weekday. Okay. Again, so those of you who don't know, the city ticket, it costs $5, and if you're a Long Island Railroad customer who travels within the city limits between Queens and Brooklyn and Manhattan, great, get the tickets for you. However, if you are a Metro North Railroad commuter customer, and you travel within the city limits such as Manhattan and the Bronx, great. The city ticket is just for you. You have to remember, the city ticket was introduced back in 2021, back in early 2021, as a way to influence customers and strap hangers to get back to riding on the rails shortly after we went through the height of the pandemic. So it was a wonderful program. And it's a wonderful deal, and I'm happy that it's getting the expansion that it truly deserves. Okay, the city ticket. Okay, the new New York panel convened by Governor Hochul and New York City Mayor Eric Adams. Okay. I can't read all this. Okay, I'm not reading all that. So yeah, okay. Recommended that the expansion of the city ticket as an essential step to expand the rail use in the city and accelerate New York's comeback currently holds a peak hour travel rail cost as much as 10.75. 10.75 to travel. Nah, that's highway robbery. No, 10.75 to travel within city zone limits during peak rush hours. No, during peak rush hours. 10.75. It should be $5 at all times. $5, no more. A prohibitively expensive price for what is often a significantly shorter commute when compared to buses or the subway. This expansion will significantly reduce this cost for the residents of Wakefield and Woodlawn in the Northern Bronx, as well as the residents of Hunts Point, Parkchester, Van Ness, Morris Park, and Co-op City, where Governor Hochul broke ground on the four new Metro North stations in December of 2022. In Southeast Queens, the expansion of the city ticket will directly benefit the residents of Rosedale, Laurelton, which will, while growing the outer borough centers in Fordham, Jamaica, and Flushing. Oh, you know what comes to mind when I read Fordham, Jamaica, and Flushing? You know which bus route is going to might serve Fordham, Jamaica, and Flushing in the future? The Q44 Select Bus Service. That's right. Yeah, so the Q44 is going to be making history once again, because I'm sorry if I'm a little bit off topic right here. If the Queens Bus Network redesign plan goes as follows, the Q44 Select Bus Service might be extended from East 180th Street and DeVoe Avenue in the Bronx Zoo, all the way up to Fordham Plaza. So the Q44 could be the only sub could be the only bus line to serve two LR stations in Jamaica and Flushing, and one Metro North Railroad station one Metro North commuter railroad station in Fordham and served Fordham University as well. So yes, I don't understand how the expansion of the Q44 was not implemented in the Bronx redesign plan, but I guess they want to save it for the Queens redesign plan. But we'll see that in action in the Queens plan, in the Queens redesign plan as well. Yes, and we're going to be looking at, and we'll be on the lookout for the final plan of the Queens Bus Network redesign plan. Okay, so here we go. Now, the Interborough Express, okay? It was also announced that the Interborough Express project will be moving forward using a light rail following a planning and environmental study linkage. All right? This will connect communities in Brooklyn and Queens, the 17 subway lines and the Long Island Railroad will significantly reduce travel times in between the two boroughs along a 14-mile corridor. The Interborough Express will use the existing right-of-way of the Bay Ridge Branch and the Fremont Secondary, a freight rail line running from Bay Ridge to Jackson Heights that connects diverse neighborhoods throughout Brooklyn and Queens. Throughout Brooklyn and Queens. Drawing from conclusions in the planning in the planning study, the MTA determined the most efficient mode of transportation, created a list of preliminary stations, and conducted outer important planning engineering analysis to advance the project. You on my side or on their side? Let me know. You on my side or you on their side? Are you on their side? Ugh. The extensive planning and engineering analysis outlined in the planning study strongly supports the MTA's decision to choose light rail because it will provide the best service for customers at the lowest cost per rider. Key factors in this determination include capacity. Light rail's quick acceleration and short dwell times make it faster than three op options. Combined with trains that can fit up to 360 people, light rail can fully meet that demand. Reliability. Since it can operate in the existing railroad right of way through 96% of the corridor rather than on surface streets, light rail will provide reliable service. Constructability. Light rail smaller, more flexible vehicles fit within the constraints of the existing corridor. It can also run on the streets for short distances, which allow it to avoid construction of a complex and costly tunnel at a pinch point. Vehicle specialization. Light rail vehicles can be produced off the shelf without modification, can draw on a different pool of potential suppliers than traditional MTA rolling stock. The relative cost, thanks to its projected high ridership of 115,000 weekday riders and cost beneficial construction budget of $5.5 billion, light rail offers the best value with a cost of $48,173 per rider. All right, so that's that. Okay. The planning study indicates up to. The Interborough Express would be a major advance for equity in the transit system. 7 out of 10 people served will be colored people. Approximately one half will come from households with no cars, and approximately one third will be living households at or below the 150% of the federal poverty line. The preliminary stations included the planning study would connect the Interborough Express to 17 subway lines, including the 2-3-5, well, the 2-3-4-5-7, A, B, C, D, E, F, JLMNQR, well, W and Z trains. These would provide new stations. These new stations would provide massive benefits for diverse neighborhoods such as Bay Ridge, Sunset Park, Floral Park, no, Bay Ridge, Sunset Park, Borough Park, Kensington, Midwood, Flatbush, Flatlands, New Lots, Brownsville, East New York, Bushwick, Ridgewood, Middle Village, Maspeth, Elmhurst, and Jackson Heights. The project will include several new connections in neighborhoods that currently lack efficient connections to each other, in some cases to Manhattan. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, if you live in any of these neighborhoods that I just mentioned just now, transit is, TA is planning to hold community board meetings and neighborhood meetings on the IBX, so you might as well be on the lookout for that one and give your best feedback possible. Proposed service will operate up to 5 minute headways during the peak within the peak periods and off-peak headways up to 10 minutes at all other times of the day. The number of location stations along the 14-mile corridor were also conceptualized as a part of the current planning study. Public input was a key factor as the planning study advanced. MTA held town hall meetings yesterday. The MTA held the town hall meetings last year and received more than 700 comments on its website over a 6 month period. Public outreach will continue as the project progresses. Okay, and lastly, this one's about the Innovative Mobility Initiative, which will provide $10 million in funds to non-MTA transit authorities to expand service offerings. This initiative will support riders who face barriers to accessing traditional transit by funding the creation of new transit alternatives and technological products. The 5-year pilot initiative will allocate $1 million to each of the 7 largest non-MTA systems, and smaller systems will be jointly eligible for a competitive fund of $3 million. These funds can be used to match federally provided funding up to 20%, purchase new technology, app-enabled local travel or fare payment, purchase smaller vehicles for paratransit, establish and expand microtransit and paratransit products. This initiative will greatly access transit riders across the state while advancing equity and producing better environmental outcomes. Wow, that was a mouthful. And the information where I got this from is from the New York State Governor's website at governor.newyork.gov. And that was Kathy Hochul's whole statement on in terms of feasibility, accessibility, and safety, and about the Interborough Express. Now, again, I support this change 100% because let's be real here, that IBX has a potential to be a light rail line. You want to know why? Because there's at least like 10 miles of track that is not being used for anything. That if anything, that track is being used to transport freight rail, okay, and freight trains. That's it. It's not being used to travel. It's not being used it's not being used for public transport or anything of that matter. Okay, so turning the IBX into a light rail line is really a good idea. And I support this change 100%. And I already told you guys from the beginning that I already told you guys from last year that the IBX was going to be a light rail. It was going to be a light rail line because there's already existing miles of tracks, and it could be used for just that. So yeah, here you go. That's that. So, anyways, ladies and gentlemen, thank you guys for listening. Wish me well. Wish me a get well soon in the comments down below, wherever I share this podcast episode. And you already know the deal. You already know the deal. If you like what you hear, make sure to like and follow the Hub Talk Chronicles wherever you get your podcast episode, wherever you get your podcast from. Make sure that you follow the Hub on Instagram. Like and follow the Hub's Facebook fan page, and make sure that you subscribe to the Hub on YouTube. And once again, this is the Hub signing off. Love all you guys dearly, and I cannot wait to see all of you guys at the next stop.